ready for the Word tonight? Amen. Well, turn in your Bibles with me to Hebrews. Chapter 4. Verse 12 says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." Here it says that the Word of God has power. That it's a living book. It has power in that living book that can actually reach down inside of you, penetrate to the joints, penetrate to the marrow. It can actually divide within you between what is birthed of soul and what's birthed of spirit. Amen? I mean, the Word of God will reveal to you the difference between what's a good idea and what's a God idea. It'll reveal to you the will of God for your life. It is the most phenomenal book ever comprehended of being written. Amen? And this book is our life if we'll connect to it. This book is our connection to God. And so a lot of people, when you talk about the awesomeness of the Bible, the power that's in the Bible, if they've not been exposed to it in a living fashion, if they've never, read it and had the words come off the page and God revealed to them that this book is God-breathed. Amen. The Scripture says the Word of God is inspired of Him. Amen. Which means God-breathed. We were at a restaurant. What restaurant were we at? A Mexican restaurant Tuesday night. And they came to us and they said, "This is our new menu. It's our new inspired menu." And opened it up, and every heading was inspired, tacos, inspired burritos. So I said to the waitress, "You mean this menu is God-breathed?" Because that's what the word inspired actually means, is breathed from God, birthed from God. And so, but the Bible is. And a lot of people, until they have that encounter with God, where God reveals to them the veracity, the power, the glory contained in the Scriptures, to them it's just another book. And tonight I want to take kind of just a veering off of the path we normally take on a normal Thursday night, and I want to talk about the uniqueness of the Bible. Amen? Just to seal within us a greater comprehension of just how magnificent this book is, how God had to have birthed this thing. Now, a lot of what I'm going to share is going to come from Josh McDowell's book on evidence that demands a verdict, if anybody's ever read Josh McDowell's work. Great apologetics teacher. And so a lot comes from that, so nobody can later accuse me of plagiarism. I'm telling you right now where I got much of it. Hallelujah. And then I added in my 2 cents worth and my $3 worth and my 50, whatever. And so understand the Bible is not just another book. What other book can you say reaches down and separates spirit from soul? You might have a book that might touch your heart. It might cause you to cry. Might challenge you in areas, but none that separates from you what's of God and what's not of God. Not another book that absolutely can shift your life to live in another realm, because this book is spirit. Amen? So no matter what books are out there, none compare to the uniqueness, to the power, to the glory contained in the Word of God. See, we need to recognize it's not just the Bible, it's the Word of God. What do people say it means now? Basic instructions before leaving earth? B-I-B-L-E, right? Amen. Well, it's more than just basic instructions. It'll get right down to the core of everything you're putting your hand to in this life. So some of the unique things about Scriptures. Most books are written by a single author. Amen. The Bible was written by over 40 different authors. It was written over a span of over 1,500 years in its writing. Oh, glory to God. 40 different authors, over 1,500 years in the writing, and men from every different type of walk in life. Amen? We had kings write the Bible, military leaders, peasants, philosophers, fishermen, tax collectors, poets, musicians, statesmen, scholars, shepherds, rabbis, and even a secretary. Write in the Scriptures. Amen. A scribe. What other book can claim that type of authorship? Now, we understand the Holy Spirit authored the Bible, but He inspired, He moved through the hearts of individual men to pin down the will and word of God. It was written in many different places. Moses wrote in the wilderness. Jeremiah wrote in a dungeon. Daniel on a hillside and in a palace. And Paul wrote while in prison. Luke wrote while traveling. And John was in exile on the island of Patmos. Just to name a few of the different situations the Word of God was written in. David wrote in possibly almost all of these. Except, he's in exile for a while. Wrote from a cave. The Psalms, some of the Psalms. What a phenomenal authorship. It was written at different times. David wrote in war and in sacrifice. Solomon wrote in peace and prosperity. But yet, if we look at the Word of God, we'll find it matches in message all the way through. Every book intertwines with every other book. Oh, glory to God. Every other book builds on top of every other book. Every other book is dependent upon every other book. And Jesus, Son of God, when He walked on earth, declared that this Bible was indeed inspired in the Word of God and quoted it repeatedly. It was written in different moods people experienced. It was written in joy, in sorrow, despair, conviction, confusion, and even doubt. Amen. Oh, praise God. What an awesome book. But at the same time, it was also written on three different continents. 40 authors, 1,500 years, every walk of life, every mood, and on three different continents. Asia, Europe, and Africa. All had parts of the Bible penned within it. It was written in three different languages. Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Amen. We'll get in a few minutes how many it's been translated into. It was written in a wide variety of literary styles. Oh, here's the English majors here. Poetry, historical narrative, song, romance, didactic treatise. Oh, there's a good one. Personal correspondence, memoirs, satire, biography, autobiography, law, prophecy, parable and allegory. Different types of writing in the Scripture. But again, they all paint the same picture. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and God sent Him to be the Savior of man. It addressed hundreds of controversial subjects. But in Genesis to Revelation, harmony is maintained. It agrees all the way through Scriptures. Oh, you might point out, skeptics might point out where there is a contradiction here or a contradiction there. And the truth is, the more we find out about the Word, we find out there's not really contradiction. Amen. They're just adding to our understanding. But to think of all the phenomenal truths in the Bible, all the phenomenal teachings that have proven to hold true today, there's not another book like it. Not to mention the application of the Bible code. You guys are familiar with the Bible code where they actually do the number skip counts and find that there's even messages embedded within the Bible that aren't in the regular text. If you've never read the Bible code or any of the Bible code books, the mathematical possibilities of this happening are beyond comprehension. Proving again the truth or the inspiration of the Word of God. That God, to do a skip letter count, do you know what I'm talking about? What they will do, and they've known this for years, but now they've used computers to really bring it out further, is you can say count 8 letters in the scripture and circle that letter in the original text. Count another 8 letters, circle that letter, count another 8 letters, and it'll start to form a whole other message. And they'll have groupings of messages go together at the same skip level counts. And totally beyond possibility. To write a book with that many different authors, that many situations, and yet even all their writings together still blend together, and computers are proving that there's even embedded messages within it. Amen. It's beyond understanding. Oh my goodness. And so, we could spend the whole service just on that, and we may sometime. Amen. It discussed marriage, divorce, homosexuality. It is in there. Amen. And it's not a good thing. Remarriage, adultery, divine order, lying, parenting, character development, and even the nature of God. Not to mention hundreds of other subjects we could bring out. All discussed in the Scriptures. There is not a situation or a subject, a circumstance that will ever arise in your life that there's not Scripture in the Bible that can be applied to your situation. No matter what you're going through, there's Scripture that applies to what you're in. Oh, glory to God. The Bible says through comfort of the Scriptures, you can have hope. You can know that there's nothing new under the sun, as said in the Bible. And find in Scriptures the words you need to take you through every challenge life will throw at you. Amen. Try that with War and Peace. Try that with the Quran. Well, don't try it with the Quran. Amen. Don't bother reading the Quran. You follow me? But it won't work. Amen. But the Bible has in it the ability to apply it to every circumstance you'll ever encounter. The Bible presents, with all these different aspects, authors, timing, location, situation, a single unfolding story. And that's that man is in need of a Redeemer, and God sent him in Jesus Christ. Every book of the Bible, 66 books, 36 in the Old Testament. Every book of the Bible has embedded in it Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, He's revealed. In the Old Testament, He's concealed. But He is in every single book of the Bible. If you've ever read the poem or heard the song about, you know, Jesus being quoted as this character in the Bible, you know, in Ruth, He was the kinsman redeemer, you know, in Genesis, He's the burning bush, and all through, He's in every book in some fashion. And every book agrees that He would come as a Messiah. Every book agrees that man needs Him to come. Oh, glory to God. See, most religions, most world religions discuss how man is working his way to God. Amen? How man is endeavoring to improve generation upon generation to evolve into this perfect being. Amen. To have this perfect society. But the Bible says man can never reach up and attain to God's level. So God instead reached down and brought Himself down to man's level to redeem him. Oh, hallelujah. You can't say all religions are the same. They don't agree. How do you take all the world religions that say that man's building himself up to God, or he's attaining the Godhood by his own efforts, and yet Christianity, the lone world religion that says God's reaching down to man, and how do you say they marry and are co-equal when they have opposing messages? There are not many ways to God. Amen. Jesus Himself said He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but me, He said. And another statement that Josh McDowell made years ago, Jesus was either a lunatic, or He was a liar, or He was the Son of God. Because He declared Himself to be the Son of God. Amen? So He's either crazy or a liar. But yet He validated who He was as the Son of God by the works that He produced. Now many would say, but Pastor Jack, He always called Himself the Son of Man. He referred to Himself repeatedly as the Son of Man. But He called Himself as the Messiah, as the Son of God. And what He meant by being the Son of Man, when He referred to Himself as the Son of Man, He's saying, everything I'm doing, you as a man can do. Because God has reached down and made available to you His authority, His power, and His Word. Amen. So Jesus said, the works that I do, shall you do also. And greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. So He called Himself the Son of Man to get across to people that, listen, I'm not doing this as God, I'm doing this as a man in relationship with God. When He came to earth, He functioned 100% in the position of a man with the nature of God, with a nature without sin. Oh, glory to God. To give us an example that we do have the power, we do have the ability, that once we're redeemed by the blood, we can live above sin. Amen. And we can conquer the powers of darkness. When Jesus said, the anointing is upon me, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, restoration of sight to the blind. Amen and on. He was saying, and if you'll get anointed, you can do this too. Oh, praise God. All through your Bible, you see the Spirit of God coming on men to do the supernatural. Amen. Calling on God to fulfill supernatural assignments. The Bible tells us we can do this because God reached down to us. Not because we could ever attain to God's level on our own. Amen. And so, the whole Bible. We talk about the last book of the Bible being the book of Revelation. Amen. Meaning a revelation that Jesus gave to the Apostle John. But the whole book is a book of Revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, when I first started reading the Bible, and understand, I wasn't raised in church. I didn't have anybody telling me this stuff. I didn't know anything about, you know, the power in the Bible. All I knew is God had saved me. And I started reading the Bible, and I read the entire Bible, especially the Old Testament. I read the entire Old Testament. I didn't understand a thing. I didn't comprehend any of it. I mean, I'm reading about the Psalms. I think these are good. You know, the Proverbs are giving me wisdom. Those are good nuggets of information. But as far as the revelation of the entire message of the Bible, I wasn't seeing it. I was reading books. And so I read it again. And the second time I read it, I started to see things starting to tie together more. In fact, I liken the Bible to like a jigsaw puzzle. I've used this example for years. Is, do you ever do one of those like 1,500 piece jigsaw puzzles? You didn't just pour it on the table and start putting things together. You poured it out and you went through all the pieces the first time just to find the corners and the edges. Amen? So through every piece, trying to find the edge piece, trying to find the corners. And then you turn the box over to have some idea of what it looks like. You know, the box top, you'd really be in trouble. Amen. I didn't have a box top to go by. I just had a Bible. And the first time I read it, it's like I just went through the pieces looking for anything that I recognized. I didn't recognize hardly anything. But the second time, I started seeing things that fit together. And it was like me taking that puzzle, and all of a sudden, maybe I read through the whole Bible again, and I had just 1,500 piece puzzle. Maybe I had 10 pieces put together. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So I read it again. Amen. And if something funny happens when you start putting a puzzle together, the more you get done, the easier it is to fit the next pieces in. So you go through it again. And all of a sudden, now it's to where I just, in the second time I read it, I just got 10 pieces put together. The third time, I might have got 50 pieces put together. Until as you start getting the puzzle put together, and all of a sudden you start knowing, well, this passage has to do with this. These are these attributes of Jesus. These are these promises of God. These are these historical messages to us, or prophetic messages. All of a sudden you know where things start to fit. Kind of like, you know, where the yellow goes on the puzzle and the blue sky, and oh, there's some cloud goes there, you know, you're fitting it together. And so I started putting pieces where they go in a rapider fashion. Until you get close to the end of a puzzle, you're just throwing pieces in. I mean, you're actually recognizing where it goes by the shape. I've been looking for that shape piece. I know where you go. Pow! Of course, growing up, if you were like my family, everybody always hit a piece out so they could put the last piece in. We get the puzzle done, be five pieces missing. Like, where's the five pieces? Everybody had their own piece. God doesn't hold any pieces out on them. You start throwing pieces where they go, and it's like that when you study the Word. All of a sudden, the more you understand of the Scriptures, the more time you spend it, the more it comes to life, the more you know how it all intertwines and ties together, how the Old Testament ties to the New, and the New to the Old, and the prophecies, you know, tie to where even at where we're at right now. And all of a sudden, the Bible really becomes exciting. Because no longer are you sorting through 500 pieces just trying to find one that fits. You're reading the Scriptures, and most verses you already know how it applies. See, I'm at a point now when I read Scripture, it's the exception if I don't know where a verse goes or don't know some application of it. Amen. If nothing else, I know the historical application. So now I understand, because I've studied Bible history some, that I know how even the historical records tie together. And then you understand everything in the old has something to do with the new anyway, and you can apply it to the new. Oh, praise God. No other book has that potential. Try reading the Iliad and the Odyssey, Homer's epics, right? Try reading those 15 times and get a hidden meaning out of the whole thing. You know, that every chapter tied together and intertwined and brought you to. It's not there. Amen? But the Bible is so supernatural in content that it actually can take you to a higher level of understanding every time you read it. Amen. I've heard many people say that, you know, Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland is a book that inspires deep inspiration and thought. I've never been moved enough to read it that far. Amen. But I'll guarantee it does not compare to the Holy Scriptures. Oh my goodness. God, think about it. God breathed. Can do what no computer on earth can do in its perfection. The Bible is unique in its circulation. It's a bestseller. It's the bestseller worldwide every year. 100,000 to a million sold. A million. I must have wrote that down wrong. Millions sold every year. Amen? It has sold billions overall, and it's the number one seller in all of history. In 1998, more than 20.8 million Bibles were distributed. 20.1 New Testaments distributed. Gideons have been at it, haven't they? Including books with portions of Scripture. In other words, people write books and they'll include quotations of Scripture. Over 585 million books in 1988 written. No other book can claim that. Amen. It's unique in its translation. The Bible has been translated into over 2,200 languages. These 2,200 languages represent over 90% of the world's population. Oh my goodness, we're getting the Word of God out. It's one of the first major books translated in 250 BC The Hebrew Old Testament was first translated into Greek, named the Septuagint. You've heard of the Septuagint before. That was the Hebrew Old Testament translated into Greek. And so it was for the Greek-speaking Jews who lived in the Greek-speaking areas of the world, Alexandria and other places. Wycliffe Bible Translators, in other words, the Wycliffe organization has on staff over 6,000 people, I shouldn't say on staff, have employed 6,000 people translating the Bible into over 850 languages. Wow. That's some heavy-duty work, isn't it? In 50 countries, 400... Now, these are old statistics. These are from like 1998, 2000, that area. 468 languages that they're translating into are first-time translations of Scripture. Getting the Word of God throughout the world. Because see, you will not see a major move of God without the Word of God there to be the foundation for that movement. Amen. I remember years ago, actually when I was first saved, I guess probably been saved a year or two, and we started attending a Church of God, is a Pentecostal Church of God, and they had an individual come through, and I'd been to a Full Gospel Businessmen's meeting the night before on a Saturday night, and I heard a guy at the Full Gospel Businessmen's meeting named Joe Jatui speak, and he gave his testimony. Well, the next day he spoke at my church. I got to hear him again. And then I got to have lunch with him. And Joe tells his testimony that he was the grandson of a witch doctor in Africa. He was the witch doctor in training. And he said a group of missionaries traveled through, preached the gospel, and he was the only one that came up and gave his life to Jesus. Amen. They spent a few days there imparting what they could to him about the Bible. And they gave him a Bible and left, and they said, all we can tell you is read it, believe it, and do what it says. All they left him was a Bible. No church, no CDs, no radio programs, just a Bible. And he could read it. In fact, he said he could speak four languages. And so, and we're talking about living in a hut, mud floors, the whole works. And he said he started reading this Bible, and he was just consuming this Bible. And after, I don't remember if it was a matter of a few days or a few weeks, he's in his hut, and all of a sudden he's reading the Scripture. He starts worshiping God because he's just seeing the magnificence of Jesus. And as he's worshiping God, the power of God filled his hut, and he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. He's pinned to the floor speaking in tongues. The whole village comes and hears it. Want to know what's going on. And he starts praying for people because the Bible told him to pray for people. He just starts obeying the Bible. And people are getting healed. They brought him a man that had been dead for days. He raised him from the dead. I'm talking about saved just a matter of months at the most. And God calls him to come to America and go to Bible school. Amen. And have an encounter with me. Praise God. The point is, he did all this just based on having a Bible. There is that much power in the Bible. If you just receive it as the God-breathed, all-powerful Word of God. You got to receive it as a supernatural book. I like to take my Bible before I read it and say, God, this is your Word. Speak to me out of it. Strengthen me with it. Change my life by it. Reveal to me what I know to go to the next place. Amen? Guess what? You get visitations from God when you do that. When you just take Him at His Word and say, I believe this is your book. I believe it's your Word. Now open it up to me by the power of the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal to you who I am. But my Father, let the same Holy Spirit open up your Word to me and show me who you are. Amen. And show me who I am as well. Lead my life by it. The Bible is unique in its survival. Oh my goodness. Because so many times the devil's tried to destroy the Word of God. He tried to destroy the people of the Word of God. Amen. Through time, it was written on perishable materials. The Bible was never engraven in stone. Amen. The Ten Commandments were, but not the Bible. It was written on parchments, on skins, on paper. All of these perish over time. So what had to happen is it had to be recopied and recopied and recopied. The scriptures we have today are actually copies of copies of copies going way back in time. Amen. They were copied by hand and passed down for generations. Yet, regarding the Bible, more manuscripts, more pieces of the Bible, text portions of the Bible, exist than for any other ancient text. Oh my goodness. And preserved virtually without flaw. Virtue without any major error. Special classes of men were assigned to protect the text and to keep tabs on every letter, syllable, and word. In other words, men were guarded with a responsibility that as new copies came out, they would monitor every word, every syllable in Scripture to make sure it matched the pre-existing copies. Many that would copy the Scriptures, they could write a whole page and if they made one error, that page had to be destroyed and be replaced and redone. And they actually, many believe that if they were to translate or recopy the Scriptures with error, their own salvation was at risk. I don't believe that's true. Do you? But yet it's listed they actually believe that they were charged with that responsibility. I'm so glad men had the determination to guard the accuracy of the Scripture. And of course we know when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, they found it that what we have today is actually exactly what they had before Jesus. Amen. Because the Dead Sea Scrolls predated Jesus. And they still match what we have out of Isaiah and the books today. What other book ever had all the letters counted? Amen. What other book was ever transferred through time with that much attention to detail and accuracy? We don't know if the copy of the Iliad we have today is the same as the one that was originally written. Because I'll guarantee they didn't feel the responsibility to guard the accuracy of translation or passing down through time that seriously. Amen. The Word of God has survived through major persecution of those that would write it and even against the Word itself. The Bible has been banned and burned from Romanism to communism. There are still nations today you're not allowed to have a Bible. And particularly, there are many Muslim nations today you're not allowed to have a Bible. I have a question. If Islam is such an all-powerful, almighty, world-dominating religion, why do you feel threatened by the Scriptures? Because those that believe in the Bible are not threatened by Islam. They're not threatened by the Quran. They're not threatened by any ancient religious text, and we're not going around burning them necessarily. Although it'd be okay if we did, in my opinion. We're not threatened by them because we know that what we have is the truth. And the truth is never threatened by that which is false. Satan knows if he can stamp out the Word, he shuts down the progression of Christianity. Amen. Leader after leader through time has tried to destroy the Word of God. Oh, praise God. But how do you destroy what God has birthed? It's unique in its survival because of the criticism it's received. No book has ever been scrutinized to the level that the Bible's been scrutinized. Having flashes of political scrutiny right now. The Bible has been read by every skeptic ever. Amen. I believe more atheists read the Bible than Christians do. At least a higher percentage. because they want to prove that it's not true. Because if they can prove it's not true, they'll feel fulfilled in their sin. They'll feel free to, you know, advance against the kingdom of God. But the truth is, the Word hangs together. Oh, praise God. What an awesome book. Amen. It's amazing. As much as it's been scrutinized, the Bible still stands through time without any major without any scientific, historical, or philosophical inaccuracies. Now let's think a minute. Let's think back in time. Let's go back to Greek days. Much of the Bible was inspired or written during, at least took place during the time of the Greeks. The Greeks were known for their scientific advancements. Much of the mathematics we use today were developed through the Greeks. Amen. Geometry, Greek application. Yet the Greeks believed there were five elements that existed that made up all of matter. Fire, water, air, earth, and something else. Amen. Somebody say something. Wind. I said air. I don't remember. That was their five elements. Well, we found out since then there's more than five elements. And none of those are them. Amen. We have a whole periodic chart of elements. Yet the Greeks believed there were five. Did you know this never quoted in scriptures? Did you know there's not a single scientific error quoted in scripture, and yet there's much science discussed? Even if you take the size of the labor, let's just kind of take a sidetrack here. You know what the labor was in scripture? It was a giant brass basin they built for the priest to wash in. And God gave him instructions on how to build it. It was something like, you know, build the circumference or the diameter like 10 cubits and build this, you know, so thick and all this. And if you take the outer dimension of the labor, as far as God said, and consider the thickness of the wall He said to use, you can actually calculate pi from those dimensions. God didn't miss anything. There are, you know, quotations in the scripture about the rabbit chews their cud, and people say for years, well, the rabbit doesn't chew its cud. Well, they found out He does. Amen. Just all through scripture, scientific declarations that have proven true that thousands of years ago, they did not even know about. And you'd have thought, I mean, right now, try to predict right now, 2,000 or 3,000 years in the future, what you think things will be like. The Bible does that. It did that. Amen. And we're in it today. Amen. It's still accurate today. How amazing is that? Only God would have had the knowledge and the foresight to do that. One of the most amazing miracles in Scripture to me, and again, this is one I talk about quite frequently because it just totally astounds me. We understand in Scripture that God had a chosen people, the nation of Israel, right? And God said, I mean, He told Abraham, He says, I'm going to take Israel, your seed, and they will be captives in another land for 430 years. But after that, they'll come out with much substance. Israel, from the time Joseph went into captivity, till the time Moses brought him out, if I had the right start in points, was 430 years. How did the Word know that? Some say, well, it was written after Abraham, and they just put that in. No. God knew. And not only that, they came out with great substance. They spoiled Egypt. But then God takes Israel. He says, okay, now you're going to go in captivity 70 years. And Judah was in captivity 70 years. And then, during the time of Christ, it was prophesied again they would be dispersed. Jesus said, regarding Jerusalem, not one stone will be left on top of another. Amen? Because they rejected the Messiah. Yet, God told John, Jesus told John in the book of Revelation, in the end times, Israel will once again be a nation and it'll be the center of world focus. And today it is. But here's the amazing point. In 70 AD, under the persecution of Nero, Jerusalem was destroyed and Israel was dispersed across the world. I mean, fleeing for their lives. There was a death sentence on their head. So Jews dispersed all around the world, to all the different nations. Amen? And never had a homeland. Never had a place they could put their flag and call it Israel for almost 1900 years. And in 1948, Israel was once again given a plot of land to call their own, to raise a banner over their nation as the people of God in Israel. Amen? And now they are the focus of world attention as Scripture prophesied almost 2,000 years ago. Every Muslim nation wants Israel destroyed. Even Iran, which is not even of the same generational, how can I say it, heritage, wants to destroy Israel. Wants them wiped off the planet. Amen? And America's position, and that it's hated by the world to a great level, is because we support Israel. We are hated because we back Israel. Because God said the nation that supports Israel will be blessed. So we've known that for generations, so we support Israel. Amen. And we've been blessed. Here's what's amazing. How does a nation that's dispersed across the world go 1900 years and not lose their national identity? Not lose their language? Not lose their DNA pool. God had told Israel not to intermarry. Amen. So they guarded that for 1900 years for the most part. Now, we've got a gathering of different people in here. And I would ask you, what's your heritage? Mine is, you know, I'm over half German. But I've got Scotch Irish in there. I've got a little of this. You know, I got stuff pulled from every mixing pot around. Now ask me to speak German. Sprechen Sie Deutsch? Nein. There you go. That's all I know. Amen. That's just from watching the movies. I don't speak German. Why? My grandmother didn't speak English until she was in her teens. Amen. She came over. She was born in the United States to German parents who had just immigrated over. In fact, her older brothers and sister all came over from Germany. So she didn't speak English. Amen. By the time she was an older lady, she couldn't speak any German. She could say a phrase or two or a count or something like that, but she didn't speak any German. She lost the ability to speak German in less than one lifespan. Patty is of French descent. Parlez-vous français? No. I can't even pronounce it. Lost over the generations. But yet, Hebrew still exists as a known world language. How did this happen? How does a nation go 1900 years and maintain their identity? And at the same time, fulfill the prophecies of the Word of God? No other nation has ever done it. No other nation can ever do it. Amen. The only reason they could do it because the hand of God was on that people to fulfill the prophetic Word of God. And the Bible predicted it. And here's what's even more amazing. For 2,000 years, we've had dictator after dictator, antichrist after antichrist, try to kill Israel. Hitler tried to wipe out the Jews. He tried to wipe them out. And he wasn't the first one. We've seen this for millennium take place. Yet it couldn't be done. Could not destroy the people God had birthed. Because see, if we're standing here today and I'm teaching, and I'm telling you that there's prophecies in Scripture, that the God says that Israel will rise up as a nation in the end time, and people are going, well, who's Israel? And if that nation was destroyed 2,000 years ago, they don't exist anymore. We've blown the veracity of the Bible. Are you following me? But God has kept them intact. And tell me the Word of God is not God-breathed? Are you following me on this? How do we do this without the hand of God on this Word protecting every verse? Jesus said this. He said, not one jot or one tittle shall go unfulfilled. It'll all be fulfilled. Oh, praise God. Israel had to become a nation again. Despite the persecution against the Word, despite the persecution against Israel, they had to fulfill the prophecies God had spoken over them. So not only do we have scientific accuracy, we also have historical accuracy. Again, there's people been trying to disprove the Word of God archaeologically for years. Well, if we just can't find this city, then it doesn't exist. They've not only found the cities discussed in the Bible, they've also found Sodom and Gomorrah. They've found the crossing of the Red Sea. They found the walls of Jericho fell flat in the ground. They've not only not been able to disprove the Word of God, it's now the number one book used of antiquity to find ancient sites. So here's the thing. It's accurate scientifically. It's accurate historically. It's accurate philosophically. The Proverbs Solomon wrote are still applicable today. Amen. They still hold today. And here's the other thing. It's historical. It's historically accurate in a future application. In other words, the prophecies, they're historical. They're just history of the future. And even they are accurate. Jesus Christ is coming back again. And He said He's coming back for a glorious church. If you are now convinced the Bible is true in all of its former declarations, amen, as far as what we've seen manifested, surely we can believe it for what He's prophesied is going to come true in our time, in this end of the end times that we're in. You can stake your life on it. Not only that, I'm glad I can stake my life on the Bible when it says, if I confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I shall be saved. I like knowing the Bible is that reliable that if I'll believe on Him and confess Him as Lord and Savior, I'm going to heaven. I'm being made a new creation. I like believing that if the Word of God says I'm healed, and it does, by His stripes I was healed, I can stake my health on the Word of God. I like believing because Jesus said that I'll supply all your need, amen. Not a sparrow falls to the ground that I don't know about it. I like knowing He's going to supply for me financially. I like knowing He, according to the Word of God, all my house is safe. Me and all my house. Well, I have a word on it. This is not just a happenstance declaration of an unreliable book. This is the God-breathed Bible. God says it's reliable. Listen, if God can keep a nation intact for almost 1900 years, He can take care of your nosebleed, your hangnail, and anything else that might try to manifest. And the same Spirit of God that moved through Jesus 2,000 years ago, raising the dead, is still doing that today. We're getting so many accounts now of people being raised from the dead. I mean, all around the world, all across this nation, people being raised from the dead again. I don't know how many people I now personally know that have raised the dead. Oh, hallelujah. I know a pastor in Shelbyville, Tennessee. He's retired now. raised a child from the dead that drowned in a lake outside their church. Drowned. Purple. No response. They surrounded and prayed over him for 45 minutes. Before the ambulance got there, he came to totally healed. Pastor Dan Stratton, his wife, raised a man from the dead who had a heart attack on the sidewalk out in front of the restaurant they were at. Raised him from the dead. Oh, praise God. And I'm next. Don't be testing me on it right now. Amen. I'm preaching. Hallelujah. The Bible is unique in its teachings. The prophecies of nations, cities, and the Messiah all coming to pass. The most excellent history book of all antiquity. My goodness. Do you understand? Much of this was written 3,000 years ago, describing the cities of ancient times, the lifestyles of ancient times, the geography of ancient times, discussed in the Bible. Amen? Not to mention the historical flow of ancient times. No other book even comes close to that. No other book hardly could, because no other book has been passed down through time like the Bible. There's no doubt, you go back 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, there were many books that were written. Amen. That nobody considered valuable enough to recopy. Now understand, the printing press is only 500 years old. You understand that, right? So if you go back more than 500 years, the books had to be written by hand. So somebody's written a big book, it may be the only copy. Unless somebody sees it worthy enough to recopy, that one book may be the only one. And the materials books are written on have limited lifespans. There are no doubt thousands and thousands, I'm sure tens of thousands of books that have been written before that no longer exist. But yet the Bible was viewed as the Word of God was carried down unchanged through time. Oh, glory to God. What an amazing work God did to protect His Word. The Bible is unique in its character. Now follow me on this. It's not the type of a book a man would write for himself. Because it deals with man's flaws. It deals with Israel's failings, of their leaders' failings. Amen? Of the failings of the gospel evangelists and of the church. Somebody writing a book only puts their successes in it. For the most part. You don't write how miserable you did. Amen? Yet the Bible, through the inspiration of the Spirit, had those failings recorded for our benefit. Oh, praise God. It's unique in its influence on literature. If every Bible in the world were destroyed, think about it, every Bible in the world destroyed, we could reproduce the entire Bible through just the quotations that exist in other books. Praise God. So just getting rid of the Bibles won't do it because it's already listed by chapter and verse where it is in other books around the world. It's the foundation of all Western thought. Our laws are based on the Bible. Did you know our Constitution was written with the Bible as its basis? If you ever watched the videos by David Barton, he goes into great detail talking about how when they went to write the Constitution, they used the Bible's government system as described by God is our foundation. Amen. Our system of economy, the capitalist system, is biblically based. Amen. Common man wants to have this, you know, socialistic mindset. You know, everybody having the same and everybody, you know, nobody being having any more. Yet the Bible didn't say that. In fact, if you read the parable of the talents, God said, take the talent from the lazy one and give it to the one that has 10. capitalistic. In other words, He gives you opportunity to profit, to prosper. Amen? Hallelujah. It's the number one influence in the lives of most of the great writers of other books through history. Amen. Created their foundation of how they view right and wrong, good versus evil. The Bible is unique in its influence on our civilization. Even for our centuries, our time is based on Jesus' birth. Amen? This is now 2012 A.D., which is Latin meaning after His birth. Hallelujah. Don't ask me to quote Latin. It's the cornerstone for Western law. It's given strength to freedom fighters and the persecuted worldwide. And all other works of philosophy pale in comparison to the Scriptures. What a phenomenal book the Bible is. Amen? And that's just, for the most part, practical application. You know, historical application. Philosophical application. In other words, just, how can I say, looking at it from a reasoning standpoint. When we take it over to the spirit realm, we start talking about that there's power in that word. See, Josh McDowell goes into much discussion about the apologetics of the word, as far as how you can prove it logically to be the word of God. How you can prove logically that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. But he never takes it very far into talking about the power of God to validate the Word of God. And we know that that Bible makes available to us the anointing to remove mountains. Faith begins where the will of God is known. It says, Jesus said, whoever will believe can command a mountain to be removed and thrown in the sea. And it shall obey him. Believe what? The Bible promise that says you can command a mountain to be uplifted and thrown into the sea. When you have a verse of Scripture, you can release your faith in that verse and know it shall come to pass if you believe. Because that is the Word of God and it contains infinite power available to us. Amen? So now when somebody tries to tell you, well, you know, it's just another book, you should now be somewhat equipped to say, oh, I don't think so. Let me tell you about the Bible. Amen? In fact, let me get you Pastor Jack's CD. Just listen to it. Josh McDowell's book, whatever. Amen? And refuse that silly argument. Even the devil will bring to you. It's just another book. You're just staking your whole life on the book. No, I'm staking my life on the God-breathed Word that He brought to us. Amen? And He created you. Amen? And then brought you a book that will sustain you and promote you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you that you seal it in us. You cause us to so greatly appreciate your word, even to a higher level than ever before. And I thank you by the Spirit of God, as we use our faith to receive from this word, you release revelation, you release power, you release strength into our lives to live above and not beneath. We thank you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen and amen. If anybody needs prayer for anything, I'd be honored.